I'm going to try and be as quick as possible. I'm trying to give myself 15 minutes because we want to get into the real things when we worship the Lord afterwards. So, I don't know about, you know, God is busy doing something across the earth. You know, you can see it, you hear about it. There's a very strong move of God happening across the face of the earth. And the only way we're going to know about this is either because we've read about it, or we heard about it, or we speak about it. You know, and tonight I just want to talk about just an awareness, a posture that we need to take. So a lot of what I'm going to share tonight is about a sermon that I was listening to, and I cannot talk from a place of I've been there because I haven't been there, where the topic is concerned or the message is concerned. So I'm talking from a place for us. So a place where we want to be and a place where we want to stay. Okay? So, and that I will make that a bit clearer later. So last week, Sunday evening, while we were worshiping, it was raining. And you know, I thought, Lord, you know, we're in a very dry period right now in Port Elizabeth. Our dam stayed 40%. You know, there's this long drought, and then we get this outpouring, and then our dams go up to 40%, and then it's dry again and drops, and then it's up to 40% again. We never seem to get past the 40%. You know, and I thought, Lord, isn't this the state of the church? And I'm not specifically talking about Fountain, but isn't this the state of the church, that there's this long spiritual droughts and then we get a little bit of a rain outpouring and then we just go back again? When do we get to a place where the dams actually overflow spiritually? You know, where there's an outpouring of God's Spirit and others can drink from it. And this morning I was in a vision. For those of you who were here this morning, sorry I have to repeat myself, but for those who weren't here this morning, so I had this vision of a lion sitting, and he was kind of overlooking, he was looking ahead, and the lion looked back and he gave this commanding roar, and the roar was a command to say to the angelic hosts or the army, go and prepare my church. And I just saw this army just moving, but the lion was still sitting there waiting for us as the bride to become ready. You know, so God is busy doing something. And the reason I wanted to talk about what I want to talk about tonight is because I don't want us to miss this. You know, I could share my story with you and maybe it would touch one or two people, but I want to share something that can touch all of us. You know, so what I do want to talk about is, it is postures that we need to take. And you can say posture, you can say spiritual breakthrough, you can say revival, whichever one you choose to take. But it's basically about God coming and bringing revival. There are churches across the earth that are experiencing revival for 3 years already. I don't personally see us experiencing revival yet. But we can. You know, yes, God will pour out His Spirit, but He's only going to pour out His Spirit to a people that are hungry for Him. And I was listening to this testimony of this lady. She said she was in hospital for a few days, and the Lord would come and visit her. And the Lord took her to 10 different churches. Okay, so there is something called translocation. It's written in the Bible. Okay, and the Lord would take up in the Spirit to go visit these churches. And He took her to one church in Africa. And then she asked the Lord, why this church? And He said, because this person walked for 4 hours just to be with me. How can I disappoint them? You know, and it just seems like, when are we going to get desperate again for the Lord? You know, church for some people has become a tick in the box, or I have to go to church again. But here we have an opportunity to come into the presence of the Almighty God, into the King of Kings. And as I said this morning, it's not us. And what a privilege that is. And you know, if we're not in that space of, Lord, all I desire right now is to be in your presence, there's one person that can help you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do things in our own strength. You know, if you're saying, Lord, I don't have that feeling. I just don't have that feeling. I want to be in your presence, or I want to read your word. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, make me willing to be willing. Because he's the only one that can change that. Because, you know what, if we're going to try and do it in our own strength, we're just going to go back again. So we need to get back to the desperation. So this church was experiencing revival for 3 years, and this guy shared about what they did and how they're trying to maintain the revival. And I just want to share a few points about what they did. So in no specific order, it says we need to wait. In the book of Acts, we know the story in the upper room, the 120 people, they waited on the Lord. Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem until I send you my spirit. They had to wait. And when they waited, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And everything else that followed after that, the church grew. It was not a work of man. It wasn't a program. It wasn't an idea. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. But we're in a hurry. We don't want to wait. And if I can speak boldly, you know, this guy said, he would ask the people, it says, the Lord is not done yet. Are you done? Because he's not done yet. You know, and we end up saying, no, I have to go. And I understand there are commitments that we have. But we so often miss what God wants to do because we have our agenda. You know, and we say, God, when are you going to rock up? When are you going to pitch up, Lord? When are you going to? But you're not waiting for me. I want to do something, but you're not waiting for me. You know, and I, in my personal time, I also struggle because it's not easy to wait. You want to talk and you want God to give the answer and then you want to go. You know, but then you think, why is he not talking? It's because you're not waiting. It's a two-way conversation. You know, so the first posture that we need to take is we need to be in a place of waiting. The second posture is to be desperate. And there was a guy called Bartimaeus in the book of Mark, chapter 10. And he was the blind guy. And Jesus and the disciples and the people, the crowd was walking past, and he heard that Jesus was around. And he started calling out. He said, Jesus, Jesus. And the people were saying, listen, just be quiet. And he said, no, nobody can help me here. Only Jesus can help me. You know? So I don't care what you say. I'm going to call out to Jesus. And so the external circumstances didn't bother him. What people said didn't bother him. You know? How I worship, it didn't bother him. How I praise the Lord, it didn't bother them. If I can make an example. How you praise the Lord, let us not be worried about what the next person's going to say. Are we going to be more concerned about our dignity or about our deliverance? I know we are sometimes very stiff and we're shy, but how desperate are you? How desperate am I to say, God, I don't care what people say about me. You, I want you. And then the other thing is that we sometimes think that Jesus coming, just the Lord being here in a tangible way is like an option. Maybe he'll pitch up. Maybe he'll pitch up. Let's see what happens. We need to change our mind shift and say, but he wants to be seeked. He wants to be found. And if we take the approach of Lord, we will not let go until you rock up. He's going to rock up. You know, the scripture says that where two or more gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, gather in that term is not because we all came together in one place. That's not gather. He says when you come as one man in unity, Jesus says, I will come. There's a difference between when Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit, because he's given us the Holy Spirit. He left, he said, I'm giving you the promise. So we have the Holy Spirit. But he says, when you come together in unity, he says, I will be there. That is very different. You know, so I just want to leave that with you guys. Then crying, you know, Jacob in the book of Genesis 32. Jacob, we know the story how Jacob wrestled with the angel. But in that chapter, it doesn't specifically speak about him crying. But in Hosea, chapter 12, verse 4, it says he cried for the favor of the Lord. And again, you know, as men, we don't like to cry. Specifically, I'm talking to the men here. For the women, it's easy. But we need to cry. You know, we need to come before him with broken, sincere hearts and say, Lord, we are desperate for you. So I spoke about waiting. I spoke about desperation. I spoke about crying. And the thing that cannot happen, God has never moved without his people praying. And Dave spoke about it this morning. Every move of God started with prayer. Everywhere. You see, the exciting thing here is as people have been praying for this for years, for revival to come, we're in a position where we can actually get it. You know? But we have to continue praying. That is the foundation for everything. We need to continue praying. And we need to pray with faith, knowing that God, this is what you've promised. This is what you've prophesied over my life. This is where we're at right now, together, and believe God for what he has promised. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's a promise. We need to get to that place of accepting that promise by faith. And then the one thing that we love so much is worship. I love worship. I really do. But worship is only a part of what it's one part. Singing is one part of worship. You know, we can sing but not worship. You know, and the Lord wants our lives to be a posture of worship. You know, we come out of a time where God just pours out his spirit and there's just this tangible presence and we're soaking and we're crying and then we go and we get into the car and we put on music that's not really going to help us, or we listen to something negative, or we get home because we want to go watch Netflix because I missed out on that series. Ouch. You know, but what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying is we need to create a place where we're saying, God, I want to stay in that place. So wherever I am, Lord, my life to you is a life of worship. And then to be deliberate. The lady had the blood issue. I shared it this morning. You know, she, to her, to have the issue of blood was regarded as somebody that's unclean. If you touch her, you become unclean. But she decided, you know what? She knows about this Jesus. And she doesn't care what people are saying. She's desperate. And when Jesus walked and with his disciples, and there was a crowd, and people were touching Jesus, Jesus said, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, no, Jesus is a whole lot of people. Everybody's going to touch you. He said, no, somebody deliberately touched me. This woman was desperate. And Jesus felt that somebody had touched her. And then, the last two, obedience. If we do not do things out of obedience, well, we're disobedient. And Saul, when they were about to fight against the Amalekites, Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul, you need to wait until I get here. Okay, we're going to do sacrifices, but you need to wait. And Saul became nervous because Samuel wasn't rocking up. And Saul said, no, listen here, we need to do something. So he decided to start sacrificing. And when Samuel came here, Samuel said to him, what are you doing? He says, no, but you weren't here. I thought you weren't coming. So I started sacrificing, making the sacrifices. And Samuel said to him, God will take the kingdom away from you because of your disobedience. And disobedience is a constant thing. Again, it's a posture that we have to take. That when Jesus says something to us, that we do it. And lastly, repentance. Now, when your person say the word repentance, you're saying repent and turn from your wicked ways. But repentance is not, it's not a bad thing. Repentance is actually an invitation where God is saying, when you repent, you can come to me. Repentance gives, it's a gift for us. Sometimes we struggle to admit that we have, there are things in our lives or that we have, and it's not a bad thing. It is a good thing. He says, if you repent, if you turn from your wicked ways, I will come and I will heal your land. He wants to. And that's the invitation that he's giving us. So it's not a bad thing. So, guys, that is my message to us tonight. And my heart and my prayer for us all is that just like there was an outpouring with 120, I don't think it's 120 people, but a fire starts somewhere. You know, are we going to be desperate enough to say, Lord, let it start with us. Let it start with us. Let the fire burn within us. I just want to share with you what God is, just a quick testimony. I'm nearly done. So for the past 2-3 months in our home cell, we had an experience, and you know, this one guy saw a picture of an angel, and the angel with a drawn out sword. And we then realized that the Lord is saying that the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And we started to just acknowledge the holiness of God. We took off our shoes, some of us, and we sang one song. But it wasn't even about the singing. It was one song we sang. It was that we were together pursuing one thing. And in all my years that I've been saved, I've never ever experienced the power of God the way I did that night. And I always see people shaking. I shook that night because I couldn't contain the presence of the Lord. And then it happened again in my sleep. While I was sleeping, I had the same experience. One of the other ladies fell over in the spirit. Another guy was shaking, falling, being filled with the spirit. And it became, the shaking wasn't a regular thing, but it does happen more often. But it became the norm that when we get together, God is going to pitch up. You know, I can't miss anything, but I don't miss home, so I'll be honest with you. Because he's going to rock up. You know, and the Lord has just been doing things. I mean, I was on my way on a trip at work, and I'm driving from PE to Plet, past to Plet, yeah. And one day myself and Deirdre stopped there, and we got an hour and a half from PE to Plettenberg, not to Plettenberg Bay, to Stormsrivier. So what do I do in an hour and a half? I play the music, I worship, I talk to the Lord, you know. And on that trip, I just screamed in the car. Like, you know, I wouldn't do it in front of you guys. But at the top of my voice, I just screamed, you know, and it was very liberating. And after that, immediately after that, I get this thought, go pop in by this coffee shop. Just go. We need to go to the coffee shop. And I said, yeah, that can't be the Lord. You know, let's forget about that. Let's move on. So I decided to go past, okay? And I'm thinking, Lord, I hope I wasn't disobedient. Anyway, the next day I come back again, and as I'm driving, I'm just getting to my car, the Lord says, reminds me of that shop. I said, Lord, I'm reasoning this out. I'm thinking, what if I make myself a fool here? You know. Anyway, I said to myself, what do you have to lose? Really, what do you have to lose? I go up, I pull up, I get to the lady. His name is Dilan or something like that. I said to her, this is not a normal visit, but yesterday I drove past here, and I should have stopped here, but I actually didn't stop. And today, when I came back, I felt I needed to stop here and tell you something. And she's like, yeah. And I said, you're precious. You know, you're precious to God. And he sees your tears, and he hears your cries, in your prayers, you know. And I said to her, you know, I don't know, I'm just doing what I need to do. Can I pray for you? And she takes my hand and she says, yes, let's pray. And I pray for her, and just like in the middle of the coffee shop. And I said to her, look, I don't know if I've missed anything, but she says, no, I needed to hear that. You know, and one of the other guys had the same experience where he had to be somewhere. One of the other ladies in the cell had the experience. One of the other, so it was like 3-4 of us, we had the same experience, just with different people. And God is doing something. You know, God is doing something with those who want Him badly. You know, this morning I read that God wants to use us as the salt of the earth to make a difference in the world. And when He touches us, it's not for us. It's for somebody else. And when we go into worship now and we cry out for that, Lord, just touch me, you know, just do something in my life. Everywhere we're going to go, we're going to fix somebody's life. Because He's going to do the work. It's not going to be your work. He's going to make you bold. He's going to empower you. So yeah, that is my message to us all tonight. And I ask that as we worship, that you would just become desperate for Jesus and for an outpouring of His Spirit. Amen.